W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV.
ABC News, I'm Jay O'Brien. A shooting last night inside an Evansville, Indiana Walmart. A former employee opening fire, chased by police through the store, exchanging shots until he was shot and killed.
No word yet on a possible motive for the shooting. Walmart issuing a statement that reads in part, "The entire Walmart family is shocked by the senseless violence that occurred. We'll do everything we can to support our associates as they cope with this tragedy."
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. More U.S. military aid to Ukraine announced this morning at a meeting of world defense leaders in Germany. Another $2.5 billion. Ukrainian President Zelensky addressing the group remotely.
Do we have a lot of time? No. Terror does not allow for discussion.
The Treasury Department has started alternative accounting measures now that the $31 trillion debt ceiling has been reached. Government pension investments being suspended for now. Congress has to either raise the limit or suspend it to keep the U.S. from defaulting on its bills. This is ABC News. Google is laying off 12,000 employees around the world. The announcement coming days after job cuts at Microsoft. More from ABC News Chief Business and Economics Correspondent Rebecca Jarvis.
The companies join a number of others in their industry, including Facebook parent Meta, Netflix, Tesla, and Amazon, who increased hiring during the pandemic on this assumption that the massive growth they were seeing as people were stuck at home would continue to stick around after the economy reopened. Well, so far we have not seen a spillover into other areas of the economy, but that is a concern as more and more tech companies cut back.
The FAA confirming last week's system failure causing thousands of flight cancellations and delays happened when contractors unintentionally deleted files on the main alert system for pilots. Two people were killed in a small plane crash outside of New York City late Thursday afternoon. The plane was headed from JFK to Cleveland and went down in Westchester County. Jay O'Brien, ABC News.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A teenage boy charged with kidnapping and sexually assaulting an 87-year-old woman in Waukesha faces a trial set for May. Khalil Perry pleaded not guilty yesterday. Police say he kidnapped the woman at knife point, robbed her, then assaulted her. Perry's lawyers wanted him tried in juvenile court, but the judge disagreed. There's a new chancellor in charge at UW-Whitewater. Board of Regents is tapping Corey King for the post. He's the fourth chancellor at Whitewater in recent years. Jim Henderson quit last spring. Dwight Watson left in 2021 after a cancer diagnosis. And before that, Beverly Copper left after her husband was investigated for sexual harassment. In sports, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers tells the Pat McAfee podcast this week he needs time to think about his future. You're listening to Civic Media Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Renk Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Renk invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Renk Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Renk Seed is rooted in technology.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
It's Friday.
Ha!
it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it. We almost did it. We're still going to get through today. But we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, as we were talking about earlier, you know, taxes and the way the system, this tax system works in this country. And
well, yeah. In fact, I thought there was a lot of irony. There's a lot of irony in the Republican position on the tax ceiling, the debt ceiling. And one of those ironies is just last week, like the first day after their majority was sworn in by the new speaker, one of the first things they did was to try to pull money out of the IRS budget that was to be devoted to collections. One of their arguments was that this new money was going to be spent on additional audit capacity so that the IRS would be conducting more audits, and they wanted to color that and fictionalize why they were doing it by saying that was to protect small business from being harassed by the IRS. But the fact is, if you look at the data on audits, it belies that whole concept. Last year, or in 2021, the IRS closed 740,000 tax return examinations, meaning individual audits. They also did 2,362,000 automated audits, where the computer simply made comparisons and went back after taxes. Those individual audits collected $26.8 billion of taxes that should have been paid. And the automated audits collected $10.3 billion of taxes that ought to have been paid. And so the fact is that first of all, the United States is kind of profoundly different than most countries in the world in that we actually collect taxes from most people. That's because most people believe that if they don't pay their taxes, the government will come after them to pay their taxes. Which they will, except that apparently the Republicans don't want those teeth to be very sharp or to be very likely. And so the less likely the tax collection process becomes, particularly for those who make a lot of money, the more likely they are to take the position of catch me if you can, I'm not paying much taxes. Donald Trump, our president, set the example by telling people, smart people, pay as little taxes as possible. I was only smart by using the tax code to my biggest advantage. And so two things about this. One, we need to make sure that we are aggressively collecting the taxes that we have on the books. And in particular, we want to be able to aggressively pursue those who have the most to save by not paying taxes. Well, who has the most to save? It's like, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. It's the wealthy people who have the most to save by not paying taxes. Tom, Dick, and Mary get their taxes withheld at work. They pay them automatically. Small businesses maybe don't pay their taxes as automatically, although a bunch of them are paid automatically through the withholding processes. And so, you know, the main money to be collected is money to be collected from people who do not pay taxes automatically. And that's not just Tom, Dick, and Mary. And then secondly, we ought to look at our tax code and figure out why is it so complicated and why does it have so many potential loopholes, or some people would say provisions. I think the people who are exercising the desire to avoid whatever taxes would simply say, I'm just using the tax code and all of its provisions. Those provisions, however, looked at from another perspective, look like loopholes. The tax code is designed by special interests. It was built in the dark in Washington because it's so complicated. No one really understands what's in there. It doesn't get lots of public attention when there's debates over when there are changes made to it by Congress. And as a result, there's all kinds of stuff in there that makes it possible for those who make lots of money to pay very little tax.
So this is Donald Trump yesterday. Donald Trump asked whether the tax fraud offenses which Alan Weisenberg, the Trump Organization's longtime chief financial officer, was recently jailed for, should even be considered a crime. In an early morning post on True Social on Friday, the former president described Weisenberg as a casualty of the greatest witch hunt of all time. After he pleaded guilty to the 15 felonies in August 2022 over his role in Trump's real estate business, earlier in January, Weisenberg was sentenced to the 5 years, but 5 months. But the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump clearly states not paying taxes should not be a crime.
Well, there's different kinds of not paying taxes. You can make mistakes and not pay taxes. You can inappropriately, but not criminally, misread some portion of the tax code and mispay your tax, or you can purposefully use mechanisms to avoid paying taxes, which you know you should pay, by improperly reporting what you're doing, so you pay less taxes. That's called tax fraud. That's what this gentleman in his organization was convicted of, and that's what his organization has been convicted of on an LLC, on a business basis. The business also committed the felony of tax fraud, and it's been convicted of it. So, you know, I guess Donald Trump thinks that you can purposefully and fraudulently lie to the government, and it's no crime. Many people across the country who have been convicted of crimes by the federal government have been convicted of crimes that relate to fraud, lying to the government, tax fraud, or otherwise cheating.
And Sandy, all of this in the face of our listening audience, you know, what is it, John Q. Public, Joe Q. Public, whichever one it is, We don't have, and I shouldn't use the term luxury because it's not a luxury, we don't have any understanding of any of those things. Like you stated, our taxes automatically come out. We have to sign a withholding when we get employed by somebody, and that money is automatically taken out. And so when we hear people make statements like, you know, we shouldn't be, the average person wondering, we're charging people too much money for taxes, the wealthy, and we jump on the bandwagon. It's one of the reasons why what you're talking about and what we're talking about right now is so critically important, is because we really don't know what those tax breaks are.
Well, yeah, and so my point is that when we talk about the debt ceiling, we ought to be talking about how we generate revenue. I mean, a family sitting around the table would talk about income, how much income they have. If the mom and dad's income is going to go up materially, maybe we can buy a bit bigger house and have a bigger mortgage. We can invest more in the future. We can consider colleges that we wouldn't otherwise consider. There's all kinds of ways to look at things, but you always would look at the income side as well as the expenditure side. Our Congress ought to be looking at the amount of revenue. We also ought to be looking at how we are taxing people to generate that revenue. And the current tax code, with all of the loopholes that are built into it, allows the wealthy, who might nominally be called upon at the margin to pay a 35 or 38% tax to get away with paying a much, much lower tax because of the all the provisions of the tax code that they can qualify for. And so I would bet that very few of the wealthiest people in this country come anywhere near paying the maximum advertised tax rate of 35 or whatever the maximum tax rate is in today's world because of all the deductions they have.
So, Sandy, then how is it possible, and I forget how long ago this was or who the president was at the time when they were 80% of what businesses were making, they were paying.
Well, I think the marginal tax, I think the marginal tax for corporations was never 80, but the marginal tax for individuals, reached that. That was under Eisenhower, and early and under Kennedy. I don't know when the first tax reduction occurred at post-World War
II. So what is it now?
And that was the marginal tax rate, and it was very staged. So, you know, you'd pay a low percentage, and then you'd pay a somewhat higher percentage on the next increment of income, and then a higher. And there were probably 10 of these progressive percentages that went all the way up to the very top percentage, which was 70 or 80%, a very high percentage. And that was on people who earned in excess. I mean, in today's world, that number would probably be in $500,000 or $600,000, or even higher, if you adjusted what those levels were at the time of that tax up to today's dollar value.
And I get it; we were a much smaller nation.
No, it wasn't. It didn't have to do with a much smaller nation. It just had to do with the way we were going to spread the burden, and it really grew out of World War II, where everyone understood the need of the government to tax, and they knew that they could only get taxes. You know, you can't get blood from a stone. You'd get your tax money from those who had money to pay. And so the progressive rate was quite progressive, and it got up to quite a high level. We also had an estate tax, which was very substantial. And over time, those who have a great deal of money and were able to lobby to significantly reduce the estate tax level, as well as increase the size of estates that could pass from generation to generation without any estate tax. And so we've substantially reduced the generation transfer of money tax, the estate tax, as well as substantially reducing the marginal tax rate for high income earners.
So on the other side, we're going to continue with this discussion and delve even deeper into what is actually going on with the finances of this nation and why we are struggling right now, and why there even has to be a debt ceiling. All those things we're going to cover on the other side. It's Sandy Williams. It's Friday. It's you and I. 844-967-2789. Be right back.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. High temperatures reach up to 29 this afternoon. Under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to around 18 tonight. Overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 28 tomorrow. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 29.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Okay.
No, I'm saying, what were you going to say?
I mean, I just got to think about how I'm going to say it.
Okay, quickly, just.
Yeah, so, I mean, because the problem that I was running into before, the main problem is just that I have a lot of things to pay attention to, so I just.
I know you got a lot of things to pay attention to.
But that's it. And then second is, I played music. Like, I remember when I did it all the time. And then, but there'd just still be times where, like, the conversation was just going right up to it and you'd have to cut yourself off. So I'm thinking, well, I kind of want to go back to just doing hand signals, like at 3 minutes. So you have like a,
the hand
and the music, signals, like doing both at the same time.
Well, I mean, if you start playing that music slow, coming into break, I automatically then know I got to look at the time.
Okay.
And see where we are. With the hand signals, I got to look at you. I got to count down. You know, I prefer if we just keep doing it with the music.
Yeah, we can. I kind of want to, what I'm going to probably do is see if I can put like a timer of some sort that's right in there. Because even, so you have like an idea of how long you have, like in seconds, so you can, you know, decide whether you want to finish your idea or cut it off. Because even with the music, if I play it like a minute beforehand, it'll just be like a little bit cleaner because there's no way to tell exactly when it hits the time, right? From your perspective,
but I do know
even with the music.
If you started playing the music at the 1 minute mark,
mm-hmm.
that gives us time that we can start ramping down and get ready to go into the break.
Yeah.
But if you're counting down with the fingers and stuff, I think that's not clean enough. The music I'm used to, it alerts me, and it gives me time to then start, you know, ramping down our conversation. But we need to talk about it because, again, Phil is now listening.
Okay.
And he's responding right away.
Okay. Well, yeah, we can change that.
Okay.
That shouldn't be too difficult to.
Okay. Let me
do consistently.
Let me respond to him. I'm surprised. We should be on. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams, and we're having a discussion about the tax structure of this nation. And at the root of all of it, Sandy, is we've got to understand why we're facing these issues with debt ceiling and all of those things. And at the root of it is, you know, these things are so complex, and even our own taxes that we pay and deal with, we're looking at property taxes, sales taxes, you know, state taxes, just the average everyday Joe. And we have no concept whatsoever about the inner workings of the major tax structure of this nation. And that's why it's so important that we take the time out today and kind of go over that. And I'm glad that you were here, and you can, you know, and put that into perspective for us.
Yeah, I think what's important in the discussion about the national debt ceiling is that we talk about everything that's on the table when you're talking about how much debt should a country or a household have. And you should be talking about how you spend your money, but you should also be talking about how you get your money in the door. And there's far less talk of that in Washington at the time of the debt ceiling. The people who want to use the debt ceiling as a lever only want to use it as a lever to squeeze expenditures, and they want to use it to only squeeze the expenditures that they think ought not to be made. So, you know, we've got this biased discussion ongoing. It's not talking about the revenue side. The Republicans who talk about this are not talking about, well, let's think about which taxes we ought to increase and which expenditures we ought to decrease. The only talk is which expenditures should we decrease and not how they should revise the tax code. Interestingly, that discussion came up only at a time when the country was experiencing a booming economy, even though we were still experiencing a deficit at the national level in terms of annual revenue intake by the federal government. Because there was a boom ongoing, I guess the government thought that the Republicans thought that they could easily sell a tax reduction. They did, and we're paying the price to some extent now with respect to the more rapid onset of the debt ceiling being pierced because our revenue side has been scaled back. And so, you know, I think that everything ought to be on the table. I'm surprised in Washington. We ought to be talking about how much money we spend on defense, the hugest part of the budget. I mean, by far the most significant part. Should we be spending that much? Who are our enemies? How do we decide who they are? That has a huge impact on how big our defense expenditure is. We should be talking about that. We should be talking about the things that the nation needs but doesn't have, like universal access to health care and universal child daycare. And then we should seriously be talking about the tax structure, because the way the taxes are collected are manifestly unfair.
So, Sandy, you're an economist, and so economists study all those things. The average person has no concept.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Jay O'Brien. A shooting last night inside an Evansville, Indiana Walmart. A former employee opening fire, chased by police through the store, exchanging shots until he was shot and killed.
No word yet on a possible motive for the shooting. Walmart issuing a statement that reads in part, "The entire Walmart family is shocked by the senseless violence that occurred. We'll do everything we can to support our associates as they cope with this tragedy."
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. More U.S. military aid to Ukraine announced this morning at a meeting of world defense leaders in Germany. Another $2.5 billion. Ukrainian President Zelensky addressing the group remotely.
Do we have a lot of time? No. Terror does not allow for discussion.
The Treasury Department has started alternative accounting measures now that the $31 trillion debt ceiling has been reached. Government pension investments being suspended for now. Congress has to either raise the limit or suspend it to keep the U.S. from defaulting on its bills. This is ABC News.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A fourth suspect is now charged in the killing of a Milwaukee mail carrier last month. Prosecutors say Lakeisha Duxworth lied to investigators when she told them her home security cameras were not working. They were, and prosecutors say they show Andre Cross delivering her mail. Cross was shot to death a few days later. Wisconsin voters will have their say on a proposed state constitutional amendment to give judges more discretion when setting bail for dangerous defendants. The state assembly gave final approval for the April ballot measure yesterday. Lawmakers are also putting an advisory question on statewide ballots about requirements for unemployment recipients, which are already law. In sports, Aaron Rodgers tells the Pat McAfee podcast this week he needs time to think about his future. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million. Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with "The Bears Still Suck" as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams, and we're certainly going through an education, so to speak, of the taxation in this country. And, you know, I think when you don't know, then we get what we are getting and what we are dealing with. And so many of us don't know. Sandy Williams does, and so we're going to take a few minutes out today to go over that. Sandy?
Well, you know, I think what teased this up is the
discussion now and the drama about the debt ceiling. And, you know, this is a predictable process. There's been predictions for a couple of years that have been pretty accurate about when it is we'd be hitting this debt ceiling. And yet we act like the spoiled family that wants to spend money regardless and wants to do whatever it is that seems to make ourselves happier. So we reduce taxes. That's kind of indulgent of us and for the wealthy. We reduce our taxes, but we still want the government to spend and do all the things we want it to do. So we have a huge defense budget. We spend it as if it's a bottomless pocket of money. we send $100 billion to Ukraine in the blink of an eye, and we, however, don't seem to have a triage discussion going on about all the different priorities we have on the expenditure side, nor do we have a triage discussion going on about what we ought to be doing on the revenue side. You know, beginning with Vietnam, was the first war we waged without paying for it in real time. Every other time we've gotten involved in very expensive military adventures, we've issued war bonds, we've increased taxes, we've done all the things necessary to finance it in real time and to understand the price that we were paying for participating in a war. And it was part of our patriotic duty to pay those taxes. Beginning with Vietnam, we began to just finance our military activities with deficit expenditures. First of all, it made it a lot easier. The public didn't notice the cost of it because the taxes weren't going up. And so they weren't being asked to pay for any sacrifice in exchange for the dollars we were spending for our warfare. And that became very apparent in our Mideast military adventures, where we spent $1 trillion and we had tax reductions. We had a tax reduction during the George Bush II administration at the same time that we were incurring huge deficit expenditures to finance the Gulf wars, the wars in the Mideast, the Afghanistan and Iraq. And so we've changed, we've become undisciplined, and we've become particularly undisciplined on the tax side for the willingness to pay for the things that we want to spend a lot of money on, like defense. You know, how can we possibly have a debt ceiling discussion without talking about defense? And if we talk about defense, either we want to cut those expenditures or we want to increase the taxes to cover them, but we can't just simply say, oh no, we aren't going to touch defense, but we're going to cut all these other expenditures that are made basically on behalf of Tom, Dick, and Mary, because those are the things we're willing to touch, and we aren't willing to pay more taxes.
So that's what, Sandy, more than anything else, has always frustrated me, is when we keep hearing people say what we can't afford. We can afford the latest new, you know,
well,
bomber.
The B-21 bomber.
Right.
That costs well over $1 billion.
You know, how long
a bomber.
How long ago did we create the invisible bomber? What is
Well, that the stealth.
The stealth bomber.
Well, this B-21's a stealth bomber, too.
Yeah,
we had the B-1.
Second edition
the B-1, the B-2.
Yeah.
And we spent a great deal of money, and then we stopped making them after like number volume 20.
That's
or
my
something.
Point.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Dave from California. Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hey, morning. Yeah, I talking about the price of those planes. Every time one crashes, my God, the taxpayer really takes it on the chin. You know, I was looking at an editorial this morning. Steve Forbes did an editorial yesterday. You know how the Republicans are trying to deal with the debt ceiling? They want to get rid of the IRS and replace it with a 30% federal sales tax. Now, if you remember, all the way back to Ronald Reagan, they've been pushing this flat tax business, and they were always talking about 10%. In fact, I heard it last during the campaign year last year, 10% flat tax. Well, wham, all of a sudden they're going to hit us with a 30% flat tax, or sales tax, get rid of the IRS so that there's no sales tax, or excuse me, there's no income tax on the super rich, and so the super rich are going to have to spend an enormous amount of money to even buy stuff to spend in sales tax. So it's going to be on the chin for all of the average little people who have to buy groceries, and this federal flat tax would be in addition to any county sales tax or any state sales tax. And then, of course, by getting rid of the IRS, they're getting rid of the payroll tax, which is how Social Security is funded.
So they have basically, right after Election Day, they've come out with cheating everybody all at once. And of course, they're getting rid of the Ethics Committee, so who cares about ethics anymore? There you go, with 30% sales tax.
So, Dave, hang on a second. Let's let Sandy respond.
Well, you know, I actually hadn't read that proposal, but the sales tax, a sales tax is regressive in nature, there has been talk about a VAT tax, and the VAT tax in Europe is the prevalent way that they collect taxes, and the VAT tax is, in essence, a sales tax. But the VAT tax in Europe is approximately 15%, and they levy the VAT tax at every level of commerce. And I'm confident that the problem in the United States with a 30% sales tax is that the wealthy get off quite easily in that circumstance, because the wealthy expend a far smaller percentage of their income on things on which are taxed than do the poor. And so the poor paying a 30% tax would, of course, be very burdensome. The flat tax, a flat income tax, has some sensibilities about it if you have a very big exemption at the bottom of it. So if the first $50,000 or $60,000 of income is not taxed at all, and if the rest of income is taxed on a flat basis, and if there are no deductions and no loopholes, so that the rich pay, say, 25% tax on everything they earn, you know, regardless of how many millions that is, you end up with a tax that actually could have some greater fairness built into it than is built in today, because, you know, we have a nominal tax today that suggests that the wealthy might pay as much as 35 or 40% at the margin. But the fact is that when you go out and survey and find out how much tax the wealthy are actually paying, very few wealthy people pay anywhere near 35 or 40% of their income as tax. And many of them pay less than 25%.
Well, Sandy, hang on a second, Dave. It's always amazing to me that you look at Elines and here in Wisconsin, and what is the other woman's name?
Well, I don't want to personalize it.
But I know I forget her name. But my point is that they somehow, with all of that wealth, can almost escape paying their fair share.
Well, I don't think we know how much taxes they pay, but the fact is that when we do find out how much tax is paid by the very wealthy, we always are surprised.
Diane Kendricks is her name.
We always are surprised by what a low percentage of income actually is paid in that situation. And so, I think that it's clear, and everyone knows, that the way the tax code is built, there are plenty of provisions in it, as the wealthy would like to call them, provisions that can be taken advantage of, which are supposedly there to promote some kind of economic conduct that the country would desire to have occur. But what the result of it is that a far smaller percentage of the income is paid as taxes.
Well, but Sandy, the average person has no concept, no clue whatsoever. And we always wonder why, during all of these discussions, things don't somehow trickle down to us.
Well,
that's the issue. Yeah, and we never see changes that benefit us.
And to some extent, it's what Tom from California talks about, which is money and politics. But the tax code has been built in the dark. None of us understand the tax code. I don't understand all of the tax code. Tax lawyers spend years studying it, and then they have to keep studying it year after year because it keeps changing. And it always evolves in the direction of changing the nature of deductions and the nature of treatment of income, in all of which have the effect of causing different sorts of income not to be taxable. And with complex tax planning, it's possible for the very wealthy to work through the slalom course, run the gates of all these laws and provisions in the tax code, and come out the bottom of the slalom ski course paying a lower portion of their income as taxes.
And Dave, hang on a second. And at the same time, the poor everyday Joe works,
yeah,
retires, and then tries to make a on Social Security, and then tries to make a couple extra dollars, and he's penalized for making too much money while he's, you know, retired. Well, you can only make, for every dollar you make, you got to pay a dollar in taxes until you reach 67. I mean, just craziness where they're going to control the average guy and never allow that poor guy to ever get to a point where he can be comfortable. You know, we've got penalties for you. Those are the kind of things that I think really kind of hurt and why it's so important that we understand this. Let's go to Dave real quick, Sandy. Yeah. Dave, quickly.
Oh, well, two things. As you were talking about the little guy trying to break even, they'll basically be called a commie for trying to get a raise. And then the other angle, what Sandy was talking about, when Ronald Reagan was pushing the 10% flat tax, some economists at the time determined that the entire U.S. budget would have been balanced if they had done a 6% flat tax. So Ronald Reagan was trying to jack it up by 4% more and fatten the entire U.S. budget by calling for a 10% when 6% would have done it. So I'm not sure what the correlation numbers are today, but 30% is, that's insane. And that's in excess of city sales tax or state sales tax.
Well, the flat tax that was talked about in the past is a flat tax on income, and the 30% you're talking about is a flat sales tax on purchases, on economic activity.
Right, right.
Two different, very different numbers and different bases. But, you know, I think that the instance of this debt ceiling is a perfect time to talk about all of this stuff.
All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Opportunities Dave. Now. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, we're going to continue this on the other side. You know, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, sometimes the medicine that we take is bitter, sometimes it's sweet. But I think the taste of the medication that we're getting as it relates to what happens with these taxes is a bitter pill to swallow. Be right back.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 29 this afternoon. Under cloudy skies, northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight. Lows level off around 18. Daytime highs approaching 28 tomorrow. Cloudy skies. Upper 20s Sunday and Monday. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 28.
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CJ,
yeah,
that's why
you people never.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, you know, Dave was talking about the flat tax that everybody's talking about now. They're talking about it on the state level. They're talking about it on the national level. And it's the Republicans that are talking about it. I don't hear Democrats talking about it. Well, why would it be acceptable for one party and not for the other? And what would you see as what works best either side?
Well, you know, I do think during the Obama administration, actually, Obama was open to and thinking about a flat tax. So really, it depends. It depends on what the flat tax looks like. First of all, there's never been talk before about a flat sales tax. There's been talk at some point about maybe the U.S. looking at implementing a VAT tax, like is used in Europe as a primary basis for collecting revenue. And a VAT tax ends up looking like a sales tax, but it's imposed at every level of commerce. But a flat tax on income really depends on how it's implemented. If there's a flat tax on income but a very large entry exemption so that $50,000 or $60,000 of income is exempt from paying the flat tax at all and only pays the payroll tax for FICA, and then you have a flat tax imposed on top of that without deductions at all so that everyone is paying this flat tax, you end up with maybe a 20% tax or 23 or 24% tax imposed across the board, which doesn't look bad for the poor and really looks worse for the rich because suddenly they're going to have to pay the tax. No deductions, nothing. And you could also say that there should be the same flat tax imposed on estates and the transfer of money. You know, if you're gonna talk about this, then people need to open up their minds and talk about it in a manner and see whether what the Republicans are proposing, you know, they might not like it. You know, they might not like the wish that they're wishing for if it's structured in the appropriate manner. So, you know, I think we ought not to be knee-jerk about it on the left either. I think a flat tax properly structured could make sense, and it could actually exact far more taxes from the wealthy and in the transfer of wealth.
So I am clearly on the lower structure of the middle class. How would a flat tax change anything for me?
Well, you see, like what I just described, if the first $50,000 of income were exempt from tax and all you got taxed on was the amount above 60, so if let's say you earned $75,000 and if you paid a 20% tax on that, you'd pay $15,000 of taxes in total on your $75,000 of income, which is probably less than you're paying in taxes today on that total amount in federal income taxes. So, you know, it scales, and then as you earn more, you know, at currently my marginal tax rate, including state and federal income taxes, is 40%, 42%, and so I would pay a less of a marginal tax. I'd pay it on every dollar, but I might pay about the same level of total income tax at my income level.
So the
upper income people might nominally look like they're paying a lower tax, but they're going to pay every penny of that tax. So if they earn $25 million, they're going to pay 25% of that as income taxes. They're going to pay $6.25 million or $6.2 million in taxes. My guess is that most of those people today are not paying that much if they're earning $25 million.
So then wouldn't they, in the long run, less revenue be coming into the government under that scenario?
No. I mean, the peg, that flat tax number is going to be pegged at the level which raises the required revenue.
So every time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if So if you have to adjust taxes, but presumably as the economy gets larger, as dollars inflate, you get more taxes from inflated dollars. As the GDP grows, you get more taxes. So, you know, the amount of tax revenue grows with the economy without increasing the tax rate.
So, in contrast, if the economy doesn't grow, then you have
deficits.
Right.
That's what we have today. I mean, we have the same. I mean, we're taxing percentages today. We're just setting it at different percentages. The fact that it's a flat percentage rather than a graduated percentage has little to do with the total amount of revenue that's raised out of a given economy.
You know, Sandy, this lesson on the economy. Even though I'm listening intently, still making my head blow up, because you don't learn the inner workings of all of this in, you know, a couple hours, because you haven't even thought about it all these years. But it does. The thing that I don't understand the most about it is that we have not been able to figure out truthfully why the people that we elect are not looking out for those who put them in office, but more kowtowing to the special interests. That's, to me, that's the part of it, Sandy, that is the most troubling. It's on both sides of the fence.
It's very troubling. I would say that the inability of Congress to look at things objectively and look at them through the eyes of the people rather than through the eyes of some people, you know, right. and whoever it is that person is that's talking to them at the moment, who's describing the advantage that they could realize. You know, the lobbyists are very good at coloring the arguments for their special interest to demonstrate how that special interest needs to be allowed to thrive, because its thriving will help the economy. So, you know, gun manufacturers, you know, the more jobs that they can fill, the better the job market looks, right? But maybe that's not good.
844-967-2789 is the number. We're going to spend some more time on the other side, because I think it's critically important that we understand exactly where we are at this point in time and what changes are necessary for you and I to plan. Otherwise, we're going to continue to go down this road. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.